You're listening to SBS News.
The Northern Beaches outbreak in New South Wales has grown to 83, with another 15 cases, all linked to the Avalon cluster. More than 38,000 people were tested, and Premier Gladys Berejiklian has thanked them for coming forward and for complying with the restrictions.
I thank people for coming forward and getting tested. I thank people for respecting the health orders and the restrictions. It's evident that people are doing what we've asked them to do. And in terms of mask wearing, please make sure, if you're in an indoor setting, obviously on the Northern Beaches it's more paramount, but if you're catching public transport, you need to be wearing a mask. If you're going grocery shopping or indoor shopping in a mall or anywhere else, you need to be wearing a mask. In those indoor settings that health has already identified, you should be wearing a mask, in particular if it's a place of worship. We already know what the high-risk areas are.
While Premier Berejiklian encourages the use of face coverings in those settings, she hasn't made it obligatory. New South Wales opposition leader Jodie McKay says masks must be made compulsory.
Masks on public transport make sense. We've been calling for this since June. Our Shadow Transport Minister first wrote to the Minister in June requesting mandatory mask wearing on public transport. This is not new from Labor. We've been calling on this because we believe that public transport is a high-risk situation.
Prime Minister Scott Morrison says clear progress is being made in New South Wales to control the Northern Beaches outbreak.
There is good cause, I think, to have hope that if they continue to apply themselves in the way they are and the cooperation continues, then we can hopefully see things returned to COVID normal as soon as we possibly could hope to see that occur.
Meanwhile, Victoria's Premier Daniel Andrews has apologised for errors made during his state's bungled hotel quarantine program. An inquiry has failed to answer a key question, which was who made the decision to hire untrained private security guards rather than defence staff or police officers to guard the hotels. The virus spread from two hotels and led to Victoria's second wave, which resulted in hundreds of deaths. Premier Andrews says he's sorry for the failures.
I want to apologise to the Victorian community for the very clear errors that were made in this program. I think that the way in which the program was established, it had to be done quickly. That's the nature of a global pandemic. There is no rule book as such. I think decisions about who worked in the program is less an issue. It is more a matter, and the report finds this, the lack of that very detailed oversight, checking, double checking, triple checking, looking very closely every day at what's occurring in hotel quarantine. That is where the significant breach of hotel quarantine comes from and the resulting transmission.
Victoria's opposition leader Michael O'Brien says the second wave saw 801 people die, caused 20,000 infections, and led to the loss of 200,000 Victorian jobs.
This is the greatest failure of public administration in this state's history, and the Premier thinks he can just say sorry, shrug, and move on. Well, Premier, Victorians can't move on while the truth is still out there. Because today you still can't tell us, you still won't tell us who said no to the ADF. You still can't tell us, you still won't tell us who said yes to untrained private security guards. You've hidden the truth from Victorians. And that's why Justice Coates, despite her best endeavours, wasn't able to give Victorians the answers they deserve. It's why Victoria needs a royal commission.
Spiro Vassilakis lost his mother during Victoria's second wave. She was one of 45 people to die when COVID-19 spread through St Basil's Homes for the Aged in Faulkner. Mr Vassilakis says the results of a coronial investigation that's now underway will be important for him and the other relatives of those who died.
Massively important. Massively important. It's not just for my, mental state of mind, but it's for all the families. You've got to remember 45 people died at St Basil. And we're not counting, how many at Epping Gardens and all the other aged care homes. The coronial inquiry, I really will be shocked if they're going to sit there and tell us that out of the 45 deaths of St Basil's, that, they were all blameless.
Athena is another Greek Australian who lost a loved one during the second wave. She says time hasn't made the grief she's experiencing over her father's death any easier.
Each day is different, but it's not easier. No, definitely not. It will take a very long time for us to recover from this, and I'm not sure how we will recover, to what level we will, because, losing a family member is a big thing.
Athena says the news of vaccines now becoming available has made dealing with her father's death even more challenging.
Definitely, especially because there's a vaccine now being made available overseas and possibly here soon. So I just feel a lot of sadness and regret that why it had to happen now, why there had to be a second wave, if things had sort of been under control a little bit longer, maybe, I don't know, or maybe it was just bad luck, I'm not sure, but if Dad had somehow managed to hold on. But anyway, there's a million questions you can always ask like that, and you'll never get an answer.
Greg Dyett, SBS News.